So Oh. Giri Tungta Gyatru Shivanta Mithi Nubhe Kintam Javanta Pimpa Trishi Pisun Sogyu Tashi Dinyan Dindin Dili Yur Sashi Biji Choshi Mendo Changri Ra Minchi Nindhi Kimpa Sanji Shindo Mithi Viva Yi Rukhi Nanda Shinla Shivar Sho Yidam Guru Rana Mandi Sanje Dagi Shijun Jibbe Sonon Jin Rola Benji Sanjin Rola Jo
Anangata Delis San Samoa.
First I want to say good morning to everyone. Our historical teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha, has given all kinds of discourses which are to do with what are the things that we need to abandon or get rid of, and what are the things that we should adopt, we should cultivate within ourselves. So what did Buddha really teach, if you ask? In the words of a great Indian sage scholar, Arya Nagarjuna, as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, "You have taught everything that has to do with dependent arising, or what is called pratit samutpat in Sanskrit, tendal in Tibetan. So what is the sole purpose behind Buddha's discourses or the teachings, if you ask? And what this really statement tells us is basically everything Buddha has taught, either explicitly or implicitly, it talks about what is called dependent arising. And the reason behind that is so that we are able to realize the meaning of dependent arising, and we are able to counteract our deluded states of mind. Basically, Buddha's teaching is to help us learn about the ways, the means, the methods with which we can liberate ourselves from delusions and from the state of suffering.
텐데다지
It is a fact, historically speaking, that Buddha Shakyamuni presented excellent discourses or teachings. But that fact is not enough. What is really also perhaps more important, if you will, is that we listen to Buddha's discourses or teachings. Again, listening doesn't simply mean that we are physically present at some kind of a gathering of teachings, but listening involves a number of things, because listening to teaching is a process. And so we really need to learn how to listen to teachings, and that's why in the Buddhist literatures we talk about the need for us to be free of, metaphorically speaking, what is known as the three defects or the faults of a vessel or a container. So we are free of those three faults, and then we are really what we call the recipients of Buddha's teachings, or good listeners, of Buddha's teachings. 아니 in his Pramana Vartika Karika, or the Valid Cognition Treatises, states very clearly, and again Geshe-la quoted the stanza from his memory. So basically what the great master said about his own writings is that he said, most of the people, so they seem to be very much attached to the worldly activities, and they are, to speak a very ordinary way, they are really sucked into worldly things and activities. And then there are others, who seem to lack the discriminative awareness, the intelligence to be able to differentiate between you know, what is the right thing to do and what are the things that one must not do, or to be able to differentiate between what's right and what is wrong. And then it seems like people are also, you know, involved in like jealousy and competition with each others. And so I'm not writing this text called Pramana Vartika Karika for the Valid Cognitions, you know, hoping that these people will be benefited by my text. But I'm writing it more for my own sake, so that I develop familiarity, intimacy with the spiritual themes, so that I'm able to grow, you know, spiritually for the benefit of others. So, you know, presenting all these things, basically what Dharmakirti is really telling us is he's really talking about, you know, to be benefited by his treatise, you know, the listeners or the readers in this case should be free of the three defects or the faults of a vessel or a container.
What the lesson is, any digos of it, any new gun, something, and Tadaka to the dangerous man under the Tumba Mayena, and bear choked our Kiranlia, and it's Sanjay Tamjali maybe, and need to put on Tumba Maris, Shinkish or Matumba Karinas to a Tanga Yolista.
So relating to what I just have said about the great Indian Buddhist sage scholar Dharmakirti, he said, you know, I haven't written this treatise for the benefit of those people, and he defined, you know, what kind of people. And then, you know, a critic says, you know, well, doesn't that mean that you really don't have a compassion for the others? You know, so you're not doing this for others, you know, you're just doing it for yourself.
Okay.
But on the contrary, what the Dharmakirti has done by defining the characteristics of his audience, so to speak, he said, you know what, I'm really not writing this, you know, to benefit such people, but implicitly, what he's saying is, people, you know, who do not fall into those, you know, categories of characteristics, you know, those who are really unbiased in their approach to, you know, spirituality, and those who are really intelligent, you know, to understand what is right or what is wrong, and that who are truly interested in spiritual matters, I'm writing this for their sake.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So this also relates to what we were talking about last time, you know, talking about the practice of generosity or giving, dan paramita, okay? Especially in terms of what we call making spiritual gift or the teaching. So you cannot go about and say, you know, hey, I have something to teach you, you know, here I am, yeah, show up. Because really, you know, it involves that the recipients of the teaching must fulfill certain characteristics or qualities, if you will, you know, which include respect for the teacher and the teachings. And also from the side of the gift givers, the spiritual gift givers must also really know the spiritual matters, and who also believes in you know, spirituality, and do the you know, practice. So as we can see that now, what Dharmakirti has said, it really has relevance to what we were talking about last time.
Oh, then just on that thing, that the Gopso Nisha, the Pichu Nimbalaya, Gagin, New Gin, Sundan Terrorists, Tia, and the Pigue, Bombo, Ludugusun, Oma Shigiba Gopso, Sunday, London, Tenyeve, and Nimbu Nichi Chow, Sung Sudan, New Gin, or Sum, within New Gin Sundan.
Another great Indian Buddhist sage scholar, Aryadeva, the main disciple of Arya Nagarjuna in his 400 stanzas of the Chedukshetha, we call Shibyapa in Tibetan, also talks about the same themes, you know, the characteristics or the qualities that our listeners should have. And as Geshe Lakpa again quoted the stanza from his memory, so basically it talks about sunne, means you really have to bring this unbiased perspective or the attitude, you know, as we approach, you know, Dharma. And law then means, you know, we must have the ability or the intelligence to understand spiritual matters. And dhyanyajan means you are really truly interested, you know, of course by implication is can't fake it out, you know. So all these things are really talking about, again, what is metaphorically called being free of the three defects or the faults of a container. So what are the three defects, you know, if you ask, of a container? Number one, that if a vessel or a container is put upside down, okay? So if you have that kind of attitude, really nothing goes in. You know, just try putting things, you know, into a container that is upside down. So another defect of a container that it is you know, smelly, or it really it smells, as we Americans say. And another problem with a container is it's the leaky part. It got a hole somewhere, you know, at the bottom or on the side, whatever. It's not holding things in. Yeah. So these are the metaphors in which we talk about what kind of attitudes, you know, are in a sense impediments to listening to teaching.
Yes.
So one thing we mentioned about the defect of a pot or container is that the pot that is put upside down and nothing goes into it, you know. Now, what kind of attitude that it represent that we should not have is that we could be physically, you know, sitting at a teaching or sitting in the chairs, listening, you know, at the teachings, but our mind is somewhere, you know, out there, okay, at the beach. He didn't say beach, but, you know, beach is out there, you know, beach is not inside. So mind is wandering elsewhere, and is worried about all the things I need to do today, you know, all the stuff. So the mind is not here at all. So then we are being like a pot that is put upside down. Nothing really goes in, you know.
What that is, I know.
So another problem about a pot or container is that which really smells. Okay, smelly pot or container. So while it can hold things, but you put things into it, it is unusable. It really smells, you know, bad. So what does this really represent? What kind of attitude that we shouldn't have is that we may come to the teaching physically, we are listening to the teaching, but our motivations are really not the proper motivations. You know, we come to teachings with, you know, very what are called negative motivations or ulterior motives, you know, such as that we come to the teaching, you know, out of some arrogance or out of, you know, jealousy, you know, that because everybody is going there, so I'm going to go there or whatever, you know, case may be. Or that I'm going to go and find out what this teacher has got to say. You know, I'm just there to kind of observe and find out. And so even on the side of the teacher, if he or she teaches out of arrogance, you know, out of, you know, ego, out of other forms of delusion, then the teacher is not doing his or her job properly. And as listeners, we come to listen to teaching with all those, you know, diluted motivations, then we are the smelly pot, okay? And nobody wants to be around us. So then what kind, by the implication, what kind of, you know, motivations that we all should have, whether somebody's teaching or somebody listening to teaching, is out of compassion, you know, listen to teaching, give teaching, out of love, you know, give teaching, listen to teaching, and out of bodhicitta motivation. Okay, so these are the right attitudes and motivations with which we should receive the teachings or participate in the teachings.
What that in it, that's somebody, energy, new. Shabdewa, sade, energy, new shabdewa, you know, no, not a chukas, luna, no, not take your mothers. Not children talk with you to petition though, Lengi Chivagan, Shirup, then Mel, you know, and Tempe Yudo, Yatu Yamaris, or the Mayan Yabu Shido, Chun Yembe Nevos Nyan, Tempe, and Yana Yando, and Sungu Yoris.
So then the third defect of a container or a pot is the leaky pot, you know. And so just we put a liquid into that pot, you know, nectar, or well, where do we get nectar? Distilled water, I suppose. It will run out, you know, in a while. And so with that kind of a metaphor, what we are trying to, you know, understand is that, you know, we may come to the teaching, we are physically sitting, and we are listening to the teaching, but if we don't apply what we call mindfulness to our teaching, then pretty soon, you know, we realize that we don't remember anything. Okay, so we are the leaky pot. Okay, so it's very important for us to cultivate what we call mindfulness or the memory. As we sit and listen to teachings, you know, we really have to, I'll just say, activate our mindfulness so that we remember, you know, the things we're talking about, and we will remember them well.
So
these things that we are talking about here, of course, in the context of you know, listening to spiritual discourses, the teachings, I think can be taken out of this context, and we can put in a new setting or a context, and they should make sense, you know, for especially our young you know, people who are going to schools and colleges. You know, things we are talking about here are very relevant to what you are doing every day. Okay, that you know, when you go to your school, of course, if possible, you know, you go with really, you know, compassion, motivation, all that. Okay, if that's too big and above your head, well, at least maybe you want to go there with certain positive motivation that, you know, I'm going to learn something, and then I'm going to use my knowledge to benefit my community or others, right? So that really fulfills one of the characteristics, you know, of good students or listeners in this case. Okay. And then when you are sitting in the classroom, right, you're not just physically there and then your mind is elsewhere, okay? Or you're playing with all kinds of the newest gadgets and really not listening, you know? And that doesn't work. So then you will be like the pot that is put upside down and nothing is going into you, okay? Or that you might be physically there in the classrooms, you're listening to what your teachers are saying, but, you know, you really kind of not really using your mindfulness, so you don't remember anything. So you really have to kind of focus on what is being said and try to remember, right? So the things which we are talking about here are very much relevant to, and even in this day and age, what you are doing in schools and in you know, colleges. So I believe that we as teachers and we as parents have the responsibility to really convey these messages to our children and students, that, you know, how they really need to be you know, good students and good listeners, so that they are free of the three faults or the defects of a pot or a container. So here we have all gathered, you know, to participate in, if you will, what we call Dharma education or spiritual education. So the kind of education that we are getting here and participating in is to learn about the ways or the methods or the means with which we can, you know, gain control over our own mind, so that we don't let our mind, you know, being controlled by negative emotions and delusions. Okay, so they are ruling over us, and then we just go nuts, you know, with everything. You know, we want to counteract the delusions and deluded states of mind, so that, you know, we become the masters of our own, you know, domain, so to speak, that we have control over our mind, that we are able to, how should I say, improve our actions of body, speech, and mind, that we do the things which are proper and, you know, positive and beneficial, and we don't do the wrong things. So to be able to bring that kind of, you know, changes, if you will, that we really need to discipline our mind, we need to, you know, what called tame our mind. Okay, so this is where the spiritual education is very central to bring about those changes. To use you know, other words to kind of restate the point that I'm just trying to make, is basically we are trying to learn through spiritual teachings what are the things that are proper and good to do. Okay, then how to do those things. What are the things that we must not do, which are not right and which are not proper, and how can we stop doing those things, and how can we abandon such actions which are not you know, proper. Because to learn about all these things, you know, to now use the Buddhist terminology, is we want to learn about the practice of abandonment, what we must not do, what we should get rid of, and the practice of cultivation, what we should adopt and what we should cultivate. Of course, we need to educate ourselves first. That's why the listening to teachings is so important. And so listening well to the teaching and gaining the knowledge, you know, that could be a best friend we could have. As a matter of fact, that's the metaphor used in the Buddhist terminology, that if you really listen to the teaching well, and the teaching really is retained in your mind, you have the best friend with you. So what you know, we were talking about the last time was the perfection of giving or generosity, dan paramita, chimbe prachin in Tibetan. Of course, you know, generosity or giving consists of many forms of giving, and one of the forms that we really know well is the material giving, you know, material gifts. And of course, here also we have to really learn about all the things involved in gift giving here. It's not that you have something to give and then you give to anybody, you know, X, Y, Z, you know. Because there are things, what are the proper things to give, what are not the right things to give, what's the right time to give, what's not the right time to give, who should be receiving the gift, and, you know, all of the, those good stuff we already, you know, talked about.
Mm. 냠달이야 심바 땅야 죽어 제면 도와서 된다라 한다는 지 되게 아니 지 야 심바 땅야 한다는 지 신들아 아니 지 연대의 신 안 산게 군절로 서버도 잘이야 아니 지 되게 지 그룽 아니 지 남바 타고 지 군련나네 아니 지 추추 표현은 도서 소속에 진배냐네 누구여래서
And we also talked about how generosity simply doesn't mean giving the gifts to the poor and needy. Of course, that is generosity. Do it with the right, you know, motivation. But the generosity in the Buddhist context also includes making offerings to the holy, sublime, you know, beings. And so we talked about how with really a pure motivation, we present or offer just a bowl of you know, ordinary water to Buddhas or Bodhisattvas. That is also, you know, generosity. Okay, and so we talked about you know, all forms of generosity, if you will.
What did that sound like? So so chujile, so so leya, chujile tongya me na tie, ni chik sangye le nyele ya pun. अनु ओमा आहम्स दिस जो मशीन भाई आमारे तिंटे को थाने अन संगे कुंजो दान तो जो चिंबे थाने ने बाय थेवे ने पुष्यने जे चिंबे न्याने रे को योरेस तो जो
I mean, we can practice generosity, you know, in everyday life, and in a sense, I think maybe Geshe-la's implication here is he didn't say it, you know, explicitly, but that we have no excuses not to practice generosity, and. So that is to say that, you know, say we have a glass of water that we need to drink. Yeah, but before we drink, you know, water, we can really think pure thoughts and offer what we call the first part of the drink before you drink it, right, to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and out of faith and out of respect. You know, and, you know, and you could, you know, if you want to be a little more sort of a, how should I say, I mean, make this more spiritually oriented, so to speak, is then you can bless the water with Om Ahum. I mean, who can't say those three syllables, Om Ahum? Okay? So you bless the water, and with pure thought and, you know, a faith, we offer water first to the Buddha, and then we can, you know, drink it later. So that is also a practice of generosity. And also, you know, any, you know, positive actions of the karmas, if you will, virtues that we create and accumulate in everyday life, if we dedicate them, you know, with pure thought for the benefit of others, right, by the power of this merits I have done in, you know, today, you know, may sentient beings be happy, or may I be able to, you know, find enlightened state for the benefit of others. So that kind of a dedication is also a part of, you know, the practice of generosity, if you will. Yes. Of course, we can practice generosity at a very higher level, if you will. As Geshe-la mentioned in the great Tibetan Lama, Panchen Lhasa Church Gyaltsen's work called Guru Puja or Lama Cheba, or Guru Devotion Practice, and where, I mean, again, Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, he tells us that, you know, we can think about, you know, taking other suffering and its causes to ourselves. And we can think about dedicating all our positive, you know, actions and virtues and happiness, you know, to others. This, in a nutshell, is called Tonglen practice, the practice of, you know, taking and giving, or giving and taking, not give and take. Okay? Got to be careful here. So basically, you visualize taking other suffering, its causes, to ourselves, and we imagine giving our happiness and all the good things we have to others. So this is called the Tonglen practice, you know, which we do with, you know, great love and great compassion as motivations. Yeah. So this is, again, you know, practicing generosity at a very higher level, if you will.
What did they touch in Vietnam? Kachida Mayimba, Jimbe Yamling, that quarter to the ten, Rangu, and Singitan Yoga,
And another thing I want to emphasize is, as we talk about all the spiritual themes and matters, which are so important, you know, but we must not really look outwardly as if this is something to do with, okay, is he or she doing that? Are they? And where are they? You know, no. But we really have to bring it home, so to speak, and say, am I doing it? You know? So, okay, this practice of generosity, what is it, really? You know? Do I understand it correctly or not? Okay? And what kind of a delusion does it really counteract? What, you know, generosity is an antidote to a delusion. So to what delusion? So these are the things that we should be thinking about, right, within our own state of mind. You know? Remember, you know, right at the beginning, I quoted Buddha's words, or actually Nagarjuna's words, which said, everything you taught, meaning Buddha, is based upon dependent arising. And why? Because we really need to realize dependent arising to be able to counteract our delusions. The goal of Buddha's teaching is how can we free ourselves from the state of delusions, right? That means Buddha's teaching should really help us to counteract our delusions. Okay, in that context, so now I'm saying, what kind of a delusion is counteracted by this particular practice called generosity or giving? Okay, because that is a very relevant question to ask. And so now when we think about that, you know, we have this so much attachment to things, okay? And we have what is called miserliness or stinginess, if you will. So these are what we call delusions or the stains in our mind. We need to purify our mind of these stains, these delusions, these negativities, okay? And generosity is, you know, an antidote to counteract these delusions.
What in this is you know, a rang the rang a tango, you know, the energy rang a petri chen in Tola, Joya, Yamana, and Pala Sonya, Yamana Shinla, and Yan Shingi, and it's that petri chen, the Pemato, you will never so until a rang a gulia, you know, till a chakinda, Sena Yuina, a seminalia, and Gangi Chavioris, and how about the Shinki Tola and the Chimber, Yan Chimber in the Shindalia, and it's it.
So of course in our everyday life we use resources for our comforts and benefits, right? And things, they wear out, you know, at the end anyway they won't be with us. Yeah, when these things happen, you know, we could still be attached to the things which are no more with us. You know, we use them, you know, they serve the purpose, they are broken, they are gone, right? But still we are like, you know, attached. Well, that attachment does not make us happy. We got a problem, right? So there is, you know, a problem. Or, you know, somebody else borrowed the thing, something from us, and they never returned it, okay? Now we're still kind of holding on to that, you know? And then the worst case, you know, scenario here would be somebody borrows something from us and then breaks the thing, right? Now we are really mad with this person. Not only are we attached to the thing, now we are really mad with this person, right? And we said, how could that be, you know? How rude the person is. And so now when we have attachment to the thing, and we have anger, you know, towards this person, you know, well, this do not bring us happiness, you know, this really drive us nuts, see that? So it's, you know, in order to be able to counteract such illusions, so as I was explaining to you before, the practice of generosity requires us to let go. Things break, things don't last forever, okay? Yes, people forget to return things. Okay, these are the facts, you know. Don't make a too big deal here, you know, and make yourself unhappy.
What in this is a rank chalat in the law in the Telia and it's a senna mayo le tang gu yo res wa ta le ma dang bi na rang ge chala la ni mi shin la chi ni sun na ne kho le ya ani chi ma ta chi ma chi le be ani ye wa yong gu yo res hara sun rang ge chala la na rang ge le tang yo ma ras ani khang ge chala la sha nga le ra sun na nga le ni sun na ne khang ge le ma dang ma che nge ta tu sung te we na nga la ani ma chi le ge ye wa yong gu yo res ta do cha sam le tang gu yo res ta su le ni ne le ani kho le pe ba sho sam ba ani de la san na da cha shin me la
Really, one of the very important things that we talked about last time is, you know, we really need to let go, okay, with our things or attachment especially. Let's say, you know, we lose things, which we do, okay, but don't keep still holding on to those things or attached to those things, because what really happens is when somebody else finds them, right, they don't know those things belong to us. You see, then if we don't let go those things, those other people who found the things, you know, that might constitute stealing. Okay, you lose something, and I find it, and I don't know it belongs to you. You are still holding on to it. Now, you see, for me, it's a negativity. I'm just like almost like stealing your thing. So it's better for us to learn to let go and even think more positively. Okay, I lost it. You know, whoever finds it, may it be of some good use to this person. I'm happy for the person who finds it, you know. Okay, so that's much better. You know, you have peace of mind. The other person doesn't, you know, amount to stealing it.
Okay. That was a metabo sanguia, should go with Kawachi with us. Metabo san de Tarasi, Gukin Tanjan, Giji Giji, Guatria, La Triadan, Petrala Triatis, or Sugia Maris, show me that was some daddies, Namshi, Rianitin Nashi, and Triadis, that's allowed to pay my donation, Ranshi, 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 and Shitria, the neighboring. All the show me that was an antidist.
So Buddhism provides us a vast array of methods and means to deal with our, you know, delusions such as attachment, right? One of the very powerful teachings that we often encounter is the teaching on impermanence. Okay, how everything is changing from moment to moment. Well, if change sounds like, you know, okay, it's not doing much to it, everything is disintegrating from moment to moment. It's decline on the roll, you see. And so what does that mean is, at the end, everything will come to an end, right? So when we think about ourselves, right, one day we must all die. There's nothing mystery about it, isn't it? So if that is the case, why are we so gung-ho about and get attached to all the things that we either have or don't have or lost or somebody found it, you know? Because at the end, we as people who own those things or whatever the case may be, we have to go, okay? If we have to go at the end, you know, what can we say about all the things that we are so, you know, sucked into and things? And so that's why reflecting on, I mean, truth such as impermanence of life and things, you know, death is a fact, you know, you may not like to think about it, but that's what is going to come, you know, for sure. And when we think about these matters, then this will help us to look at things from proper perspective. Okay, nothing lasts forever, so why get so mad when things break? Because maybe it's supposed to break one day, you know. Yeah.
What interesting that anything shank is allowed to do anything around a new way in a rank of data from your mother's or anything, say, and change into the lesson here and call on the part two Sunday and lot of people your list.
And also, if we find something that belongs to others, we should always have in our mind, if for some reason somebody comes and makes a claim, that we are willing to give it to that person. Okay. And if you're really not comfortable owning it, you know, you should also donate it to some other, let's say, where this organization needy, you know, so that, you know, we should have at least that attitude that, okay, I don't know who it belongs to, but if somebody comes up, you know, I know it doesn't belong to me, I found it, right, I'm going to give it to that, return it to the person.
Okay. Rang le yan xing ge jia la zu la ne ke de ne pa zhe sam xia da rang ge jia la na ne le dang de de xia zu ji ting ye ru ge jie wo de wa si ko qi zhou na le ne ye ru ge jie wo de si ko.
I think this is also in some sense a civil, you know, what called considered a civilized way of behaviors, right? I find something, and you come and say, hey, Tenzin, that belongs to me. I said, okay, here it is, right, to return it to you. That's a proper, you know, a civilized way, even, you know. We don't have to necessarily talk about, you know, Dharma point of view here. Of course, what we learn from the Dharma is letting go, right, part, and which is, I think, it's a very important, thing to learn and practice to make ourselves feel better and at peace.
What interesting that that simple, and it's a lockjaw, and it's a contaminating shorty that begin machine language yardy, but go hit machine language in the Yavokoyat at the ships, let how in the mass and machine the chuju chicky, simple ships charge your list, or the best thing, what your list.
So as much as we would like to talk about all the positive things, generosity and all other things, you know, how to practice it, we also need to talk about, so to speak, the other side of the story, you know, that is not so pleasant to listen to, you know, things like, you know, what constitutes stealing. You know, sometimes, you know, stealing what we might think like an insignificant thing, well, it may not necessarily be insignificant. You see, that action could mount to something very serious, you know. So we have to learn about, even about the wrong actions, so that we know about the seriousness of these actions and that we should not be doing. Okay, let me give you an example to illustrate my point here, how something that we might think is insignificant, it can be very serious, you know, action. Let's assume that a monk, you know, who serves his monastery, so that monk is a staff of the monastery. And for whatever reason, you know, he kind of misuses $1 that belongs to the monastery. Okay, what is $1 after all, we might say, right? A dollar. Come on, you know, you have been working so hard for the monastery. But think about this. This monastery has 1,000 monks, okay? So that dollar is owned by 1,000 monks, okay? So that means you have really affected, you know, you have taken something or misused something that belongs to 1,000 monks. Now it's a very serious matter, isn't it? So now let me bring another example just to make the point. Let's say, you know, you need to ride a bus and that costs you, I don't know, I used to ride bus for 10 years, but now I don't remember. Is it a dollar and a half or whatever? With transfer or without transfer? Anyway, let's not go there. Anyway, let's make it $3, okay. The bus ride costs about $3. For some reason, you know, you got in and you did not pay the $3 and you just got away with it. Now think about this. This bus belongs to the community. Okay. Now, depending upon the number of people in this community, okay, well, it's like you have taken $3 from, I don't know, how many thousands of people, okay, this whole community. So it really becomes a serious matter when we really think careful about, you know, these situations. So in other words, what I'm really saying is that we belong to many organizations and many groups, and we belong to communities, right? And if we are involved in all such world something, we really have to be careful the way we do things, you know? Whether we are working for the government, well, you take $3 from the government. The government is for the people and by the people, and you know that, right? That's millions of people's, you know, money. I mean, you took it, or we took it. And the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, if we are on the staff of any group or organization, and if we somehow misuse it because we think, you know, then all the peoples belong to that group, you see, it belongs to them, it really gets affected. You see, that makes our action more serious in nature. You see, that's the point what I want to make. So we all need to be really, think about all these things. Some lot of things really we talk in the spiritual matters, you know, they really relate to everything that we, you know, do in our life. And those who are responsible for our community organization, such things, you know, they really need to take good care of the things which belong to the community or the organization. Okay, let me give you another example from our monastery. That's what I'm more used to, right? Let's say, you know, the monastic caretaker, the monastic has monastic hall, you know, the caretaker, you know, is expected to take good care of all the things in the monastic hall. So there are cushions, you know, for the monks. Okay? So maybe the cushions need to be laid out in the sun, you know, so then, you know, you can bring them back. But for some reason, you bring all the cushions out in the sun, you think that's going to be sunny. Then you just kind of wander around somewhere, you know, and then it rained, it ruined the whole cushion. Okay, now you have created, you know, negativity here. Something that belonged to the thousands of monks, the cushions, you are supposed to take good care of this, and you ruined it. Okay? So it becomes, again, negativity. You see, bad karma. Okay?
What did you say that you being young linear turn and that the Sang Sigi to be young linear turn the Dakatalic Piggy Nanga in your Molia and Yamotanda and Chip Langusum Gujua, Dakandala, some way shall have to be a singular and Chani to who you are this. What did you say that in the Nazo music be chamber this? Music be chamber Sati and a chick figure Dunghigan Nate and a chick Semji and Serena and a chick and Dunya. An thakar nang shingi, an chik yaw gung gu tu su, an ca chang gi, an dung yi gi na ting yu gu, an sim chik gu sing la so gu so jia tung zu, an chik so, an gyab ya, wa da zi che di, an pi ge te sing xie wa nang xin yin ji dang, di ti gu gu lian nang, an di te che wa nang, di mi chik bie chi bie nyam le rigu yu res.
So what we're really talking about is, you know, of course I have focused more on the material, you know, gift giving. So what are the things we could give, what are the things we shouldn't give, and how we really need to take care of the things that belong to the community and don't misuse them and all of those things, which are very much related to the practice of generosity in the world. And of course, the perhaps the more important things that is involved in the giving is, as I said, we really need to discipline our mind. We need to learn to let go attachment and, you know, miserliness and all those things. Yeah. And now let's move on to talk about another form of giving, which is called giving protection or fearlessness, Minjikbe Chimba, literally translating giving fearlessness. Yeah. So this basically involves, saving, the lives of others, you know, who are in dangerous situations or in difficult situations. Yeah. Let's say that, if the wrong person is got into the prison for some reason, okay, then you help, you know, him or her to get out of the prison, that is also practice of giving what called fearlessness or protection. Okay? Or during seasonal changes, we know that many beings and insects, you know, they find themselves in a very difficult situations, right? So if we can, you know, remove them from the situation they shouldn't be in and put them in the safe places, this is also practice of giving fearlessness or, you know, protection to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing your dishes and you see, you know, some insects land on things, right? So if you pay attention to what you're doing, you may be able to remove them before they get washed away, you know, they get flushed into the drain. Okay? So that is a practice of giving, well, practice of fearlessness giving.
Okay.
Well, if you open your doors, you know, of your home, and some flies and you know, animals, they got in, they get trapped, you know, they are not supposed to be in, but they should be out, right? Well, if you free them, you know, help them get out, that is also, you know, what we call practice of generosity, giving fearlessness.
Mm.
So what are what we always talk about how to look at things from what we call complementary perspective and from prohibitory perspective, you know, what are the things we should not be doing here, right? If we know for sure that you know, this individual or a person has brought so much harm to other people's lives, and if he or she is going to stay out, is going to cause more harms, right, and is locked in, then we should not help this person to get out, because this person is going to bring more harms to the other people. So then in this case, you know, we can be generous in the sense of, okay, I want to protect his life or her life, or, you know, we can do it. Yeah.
And
also sacrificing many lives for the sake of one life, he said that is not the right thing to do. Okay, that's, you know, that contradicts, if you will, or go against the generosity of giving protection of fearlessness. So at a personal level, what does it really mean? I want to practice you know, fearlessness or giving protection. It means that in our mind, you know, if we sort of make a commitment that I'm not going to harm or hurt anybody physically, verbally, and mentally, and I'm not going to let my actions of body, speech, and mind to harm somebody else, right? Then you are, at your personal level, practicing this kind of a generosity called giving fearlessness. Of course, you know, when we, you know, commit in our mind that I do not want to harm anybody, which is called ahimsa or the principle of non-violence, right? But that also involves, at a deeper level, is that you want to cultivate compassion, right? Because you feel compassion for others, you know, because you want to cultivate love, loving kindness for others, you know. When we, you have such attitudes, then you are really not going to do anything that is going to be harmful to others. So we will stop there today, and okay, we can receive you know, a couple of questions, and then I have a big announcement to make, I suppose, and maybe others might have. Yes, Mimila.
I wonder about this. Okay, if we have what happens to someone if we found something,
mm-hmm,
and then we give it away.
Mm-hmm.
And that belongs to somebody,
mm-hmm,
and we didn't steal it, but now we give it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Are they involved in stealing it?
Oh, I see. The question that Mimila is asking is, remember, I think this is more like what we talked about last time than today, that we find somebody, something that belongs to somebody else, but we don't know who it belongs to, but we give it to some another person. Now, would that amount to the other person, you know, just kind of getting involved in stealing? Okay. This is again. Then I'm going to ask mission, get out of the chalas in here, chasha. Tabo swim at the moment, and say, you know, so each other thing as a me, shambazil tab in that again. I mean, shambazil when a co yakuma go with the cooling and the chagoras.
No, 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 소소게 데 메신베 자라니에네 싱글레 마타에네 소소라 마신레베 냐고 용부여레스 아 랑게다 메신발라 제베네 아니 지 다도 숨니디 당고데레데 여레스 들렸던 거 맞아 셴바들레 제베네 아니 당게 당보데글레 마타선자 코다 숨은 콜은 여와다가 간자 용부여레스 근데 선전 여와데 마연야 그 체도 콜 제세 잡고여레 말이 니송스 제 쟁인레스는 제고르다
Well, here's how it works in principles, right? Remember I said how letting go is so important. This is based on our assumption that we find something that belongs to X. X is the person who has then let go that thing, still attached to. Yeah? So in which case, you know, I found it, so I, you know, my action may constitute stealing from this person because this person has then let go the thing. Now, I don't want it, so I give it to another person. Still, this person is holding on it, so this other person's action might involve stealing too, see? So now what we really need to do is, if you want to give something to another person, we don't know who the real owner is, you say, you know what, I found this, okay, and I'm going to give it to you, but in case somebody comes and makes a claim for that, you should be willing to return it to the other person, okay? See, in that way, the other person really doesn't, you know, action may not constitute stealing. So
as
other persons, is that clear? Yeah.
What the day we sing each other to ya that dadum as soon as you call ya nyani, dress and a lot of yours. Yanting Mal Yang Yo Yunguru Sama and Chalazo, and Lang Tawama Kyoche, and it is Shang Martin, you should put the kiss on Yo Yungu Yoris.
So you see, I mean, this is like, it seems like a very simple matter, but it also does involve like a lot of good thinking here, right? If you find something, right, but don't have the feeling, oh, I'm going to own it. Well, this doesn't belong to you. But you found something, but in your mind, I say, you know what? Well, I'm sure somebody lost it. You know, if anybody comes around, makes a claim, I'm going to really return it to that person. It belongs to that person, not me, right? So in that way, what you are doing doesn't constitute stealing. But don't be like, you know, scared, okay, if I pick it up, you know, that might constitute, so I'm not going to touch it, you know. And then somebody else might find it, and who will never going to return it to the other person, right? He's really going to own it, see? Yeah. So in order to sort of, how do you say, as you assess the situation, you say, okay, I don't want somebody else to pick it up, and then who will not think the way I'm thinking, you know, then that might constitute stealing. So I'm going to pick it up, take care of it, and I'm not going to own it. But if somebody else comes and claims, makes a claim, I'm willing to give it to the other person. Okay? So then that's the really good way to do it, you know, the good way to even take care of that thing, if you will, until the real owner hopefully pops up, you know. Yeah.
Can we just give it to Lawson?
Yeah,
lost and found is good. We can return it to there. And Gisela remembers that, you know, when, you know, we attend this big events for Kala Chakra, right, people lose a lot of things. Yeah, people lose children. I mean, he didn't say it, but, you know. So then we have lost and found place. So we make announcement all the time. We found this, you know, baby here with this, you know, description and everything. You know, gotta come and get it. So, of course, right, that's the right thing to do. So lost and found, because we are trying to connect it to the real owners, right, return. So that's a good way to do it. I did see a hand over there. Yeah. Yeah, you. Yeah.
The higher level of generosity is practice of taking someone's suffering and giving like positivity.
Right.
What do you do when you take that negativity? Because you can't internalize it, because that's going to make you feel worse. Mm-hmm. So how do you take it, and then what do you do with it?
Okay. All right, very good question. The question that's being asked is, you know, Gisela said we could practice generosity at many different levels. At a little higher level, to use the Tibetan term, is called Tonglen practice, the practice of giving and taking. Right? Now, the question that's being asked is, when you take the negativity from others, right, you do not want to internalize it because that's going to be painful or whatever. So what do we do with it, you know? How do we approach, you know, this way of doing? This is a very wonderful question. Again, this is the one. peki pena simbian yamle pena tongle de jae jo ro bagen ti ji de xin gi da kar so wat tung ne de dikrib kang so so le so so gi ke wa da da sang jo kang xin jae jo ro wa za xin gi ti tung ne da de pa chul ne se ti ro bagen so so sem nang le bel le men so so kang ye chi 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 ro wa da de len dang di chi kar si go ro bagen ti kar si go chul ne ne kar si go da go ro wa len dang da len ni
de kha she thewa de yo res Shangi, then Nazala Sokotazoni, Mangu Jivet, Titum, Maluta, Talam, was then Nazal Totong Almiro Chenas, the Nakiatong Almiro Chenas, some of the Tan Shing, Nazatang, Kuhumaris, and his Shangi Yodis, the Nemaris, and Yamanjada.
Okay, that's a good question, and I guess I'll remember that, you know, in, we have many prayers where we could use this prayer, say, you know, may all the, you know, basically bad things that others are going through, you know, ripen upon me. May their sickness befall me. You know, may their sufferings come to me, whatever. And so there are, you know, some individuals who have questions. They say, you know, if I think that, you know, if really they come to me, I don't want that. You know, I don't want to be sick. I don't want all the sickness of everybody else befalling me, you know. So what is this, you know? So let me a little bit explain, you know, what do we mean by, you know, taking the negativity or the suffering of others. That's what Lenda is just saying.
What that the Tonglin did? That's Susumana Yamlingu Nalia, Susu Lugutolia, and then Nazala Soba Kangiche, Singanalia, Kangiche into Tangalasa, and Shing Sengi Shing, and Samotana Shing, Kotu Samotana, and Allah, and Lusim Nila Naga, Tungi Tagarangi, Shing Tungi Tata Kotcho Shots, Sambaina, Shing Tungi Lian, there is for. And so the Kiwu Dang, the Chuna, Naki, which you want to teach you to, and Tai, Sengi Tang, Nanashi, and Tusim Nila Kiwu Taganashi, Nanashi, Yong Shots, Patanga. So, and give us such a lot of the other part, Shen and Waya, or the rest, that Tonglin Yam the Zoe did.
So, the way we do Tonglin practice, the practice of giving and taking here is, you know, when we find ourselves in a situation, say, that we have either physical suffering or a difficulty or a mental agony or suffering, at such time, you know, what we really do is that, you know, by my experience of this physical and or mental, you know, suffering, may other people and beings do not have to go through their suffering. You know, may let this be one and all, right? I go through this anyway. I have this physical pain. I have this mental pain, whatever. So by my experience of these things, may everybody else, you know, who are going through the same thing do not have to go through that. Okay? So that's the way, you know, we practice, you know, Tonglin, in the sense that when you think like that, so it is as if like you are taking their physical and mental pain upon yourself, and you wish them to be free of their pain. Is that coming clear to you?
What in the that you listen the Kanye to the Pash Piamela and a lot of care that did it for her.
The key to this is, like, you know, we are doing this kind of a thinking or a meditation, if you will, is to be able to develop the strength, you know, to deal with difficult situations. You know, and also to be able to generate what we call like care and concern for other beings.
What is similar?
So this is like, you know, if you allow me to maybe add a few things to clarify that is, if we are, you know, have a physical and mental difficulty, and if we are really sucked into this, it's as if the whole world has crashed on me, you know, that's really painful. Right, but when you kind of lighten it up, you say, okay, by my experience of this, may everybody else in the same situation do not have experienced this, then that really, how you say, boosts up your spirit, it strengthens your mind, and it also gives you the opportunities to think about all other beings. You know, there are many others who are in a similar situation, and you are really not just self-focused, but you're also other concerned, you know, and this is how we develop our spirituality. And also, Geshe-la said that when we're in a really happy situations, you know, we also think about others, you know. Really, I'm very fortunate to be happy, you know, have whatever this happiness. May everybody else, you know, find the same happiness. So we want to think about others, you know, and wish others to be happy as well. Okay. Okay, I think, okay, yeah, Lynn, last question. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, learning from
student
work.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of texts out.
Right.
How do you authenticate or find, you know, texts that are true?
Okay. This question, you know, is related to, the teaching of the other day, where Geshe-la was saying that, you know, if you really want to be more serious about learning Buddhism, then there are, even within Buddhism, we have many different philosophical perspectives to look at realities. You know, realities are presented at many different levels. Yeah. And now the question being asked is, there are so many books and resources out there, and how do we know what are the really authentic sources to learn about those perspectives, the Buddhist perspectives on realities? lobjong shema, that injin ala yuji re, that the wa, yusha dwa ki.
I'm
just trying to make sure that you know we address your question, you know, because he's giving very elaborate explanation here, and then we might just lose you on the way. Okay, but let me translate what he said and then come to the point. Historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha has taught different things to suit the mental dispositions and capacities of different practitioners. In a Buddhist context, we talk about three types of what are called practitioners, if you will. We have the hearers or the Shravakas, we have the solitary realizers or the Pratyeka Buddhas, and we have the Bodhisattvas or the Mahayanists. So Buddha taught the different things to suit their dispositions and capacities. And so when it comes to presenting the realities, right, Buddha taught different philosophical standpoint or the perspectives on how to look at things. So that's why in Buddhism, we talk about four major schools of Buddhism. Right, we have the Vipassika school, Sautantrika school, Chittamatran school, and we have the Madhyamika schools of thought. And each may have a slightly different ways of looking at what realities are, because within each school of thought, basically what we are dealing with is three things. What is the base realities we call the basis? Okay. And what are the paths, you know, with which we can realize those things, and what are the results? So we are talking about basis, path, and outcome of the result. So in each school, we can look at those things. We must not mix up all these things. Last time, I don't know, Geshe-la didn't use the word, but I said we can't make a chow mein here, you know, mix up all the things. That's what the word I used last time. So look at things from a particular Buddhist philosophical perspective, look at the realities as they are. And of course, the real sources are the Buddha's Tripitakas, or the three baskets of teachings, right? And this is the main source. And so what we find in, for example, in the, let's say, the Vipassika and Sautantrika school, they are more dealing with perhaps the external realities, you know. So we learn about, you know, their perspectives of external realities. And so basically in terms of the Vipassika, when you want to know more about the state of mind, you know, things like that, what the difference, you know, the mind itself is a world in it, you know, there has so many levels of mind. So when you think about those realities, or internal realities, if you will, then we probably look into the works that deal with the Vipassika school of thought and the treasure of knowledge, Abhidhamma Kosha, perhaps, okay, things like that. And now if you want to know about the reality at a higher level, let's say when we talk about the non-duality, okay, non-duality between subject and object, okay, how do things exist and how do they appear to us? Okay. What are some of the common perspectives that we have to look at realities, and what are some of the uncommon perspectives? Then we go more into the mind-only school of thought called the Chittamatrins. Okay. So then we said, okay, I want to know the ultimate nature of phenomena that's called emptiness, you know, in a very definitive sense. What is the ultimate standpoint on emptiness of all things? This is where we study the Madhyamikan philosophy, or the middle way schools of you know, thought on this. Yeah. So different schools of thought exist for us to be able to capture realities at different levels, if you will. And especially when we look within the Tripitakas, the three baskets of teachings, we want to, in this particular case, look about the basket of knowledge, Abhidhamma Pitika, basket of knowledge. You know, it provides us, you know, the things about the training in higher wisdom. So that deals with much of the realities, you know, that we are, you know, talking about. For example, the basket of discourses, you know, deal with different levels of concentration and things like that. And the basket of ethics, or the Vinaya, deals with you know, for example, the practice of generosity that we talked about, you know, it is a part of that. Yeah, so there's so much, I mean, it's very hard to, I think the sense here is, Geshe-la didn't say it exactly this way, that there's so much literature in Buddhism, with authentic, it's very hard to just give you a list of one or two like that. But that being said, as I was trying to make sure that we address your question, I believe in English there is a translation. For example, there are texts called tenets that deal with, okay? You know, the tenets is to deal with Buddhist schools of thought. And I think there is something called the Precious Garland Commentary on Tenets or something like that. And I know it was translated by Professor Hopkins a long time ago. You know, it's called Theory in Practice. That's what it's labeled. You know, I think the title changes in English. Now I remember that. So inside the cover, maybe there's a real Tibetan title, but on the front cover is the Theory in Practice of Buddhism or something like that. Okay? So there may be texts like that. Those are authentic texts that you can rely upon and study about different Buddhist thoughts about realities.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Geshe-la wants to add that, you know, because today at our nunneries, you know, nuns are also learning about Buddhist metaphysics and, you know, they're doing debate and they're doing higher learnings as well. And His Holiness the Dalai Lama advised a gathering of nuns at one point, that once you have completed, say, the what we call the Perfection of Wisdom, you know, sutras, and then the Middle Way philosophy, right, then after that, you should focus on learning about the Buddhist schools of thought, we call tenets or drupta in Tibetan. And he recommended two Tibetan Buddhist works, which he feels are very extensive on these matters. Now, I don't know whether this exists in English or not, but I'll give you the names of the authors. One is the great Changkhya Rolpe Dzogchen. I believe it is there. Okay. Changkhya Rolpe Dzogchen's text on tenets, Buddhist tenets. The other is called Kunjin Jamyang Sherpa. Okay. Kunjin Jamyang Sherpa's text on tenets. Now, don't hold me, the translator, onto this, but I believe probably these things exist. You know, I think Jeffrey Hopkins was big on Kunjin Jamyang Sherpa. You know, he translated tons of, huh? Okay, Anala says meditation, it is in meditation on emptiness. Okay. That's why I said sometimes I have a problem giving you the title because in English publication the title has changed, you know. So, anyway, so these are very exhaustive. Okay, text on the tenets, and His Holiness is committed to the serious nuns who are studying about this thing. But then there are other simpler versions of texts on the issues. Okay, okay. Now we really addressed your points. Okay, we have passed the time, and let me do a quick administrative work that I asked to do. Usually I don't do, as you know, but announcement is, I think, part of my voluntary job here. Okay, last time we said the Memorial Weekend, you know, we could just get off, okay? Well, no, we want to do Nyune practice now, okay? So which is good news for, you know, practitioners. And the reason was last time, you know, because the one reason was this Memorial Weekend. I know you might have parties with your families and friends. But other is your good translator is required by the university to have to be at the commencements, you know. I call it non-freedom state from Dharma point of view, so I couldn't be here, but that's what pays my bills, so I have to be there, realistic, I think. Okay, anyway, so, I mean, one of our students, I don't want to name her because she won't like that, remembers that when Geshe-la was alive, you know, often, you know, Memorial Weekend, you know, we would request him to do the Nyungne practice. The Nyungne is a Tibetan word which means fasting retreat of Arya Avalokiteshvara, okay, the Buddha of Compassion. So usually it is what we call a two-day retreat, which is perfect for to do in the weekend. So so a number of students have requested that, and you know, Venerable Geshen Nubu, you know, gladly accepted to lead the Nyungne retreat. So May 23rd, Saturday, Okay, it's the first day of Nyungne retreat. If you could come, we will start at 5 on the dot. Okay, it says here, be here at 4:45 a.m. That's the early morning. Okay, so because the reason why we have to start on time at 5 is people take a little bit of time to explain one day Mahayana precepts, right? So I will just make sure that I'm here to translate that morning. And so then we have to, you know, he has to give the Mahayana precept before the sun really comes up. Okay, so we have to start really early. And then I think for each day you will do 3 sessions of, you know, Nyungne practice. Okay, maybe the first session might start right after the one day Mahayana precept and may finish around 8 or 8:30. We don't have exact time. Okay, so don't hold on to, don't be too much attached to the words here. So around 8:30 we finish, take a, like, you know, 10 minutes break, then we start the next session. So we will stop it somewhere in the middle so that we will let you eat at 11:30 because you need to eat before noon, okay? We come back in the afternoon, you know, at about 2, and then we finish that session, give you a little break, you know, to relax your muscles and answer the nature's call and such things. Start the third session, we finish around 4, between 4 and 5, okay? So that's what we will do on Saturday, okay? Now to save time, I'll just explain a few things for the new people here, okay? That what does it really Nyungne involve is, on the first day, you know, you could eat lunch. So a little early lunch before the noon. Then you cannot eat anything right afternoon or in the evening. Okay, you could drink a little bit, it's okay. So first day is a little, you know, easier for you. You can still talk, okay? But you can't sing or dance. We will explain that on that day. And by the second day of the Nyungne, which is the Sunday, May 24th, the whole schedule is same. You come here in the morning at 5, he'll give you the one day Mahayana precepts, okay, the 8 precepts to be kept, we'll explain that. But that is the day you don't eat. You don't drink, drink doesn't mean alcohol. Don't drink water, okay, nothing. You don't talk, you know, even one word. Okay, so it's a really good purification practice that day. But here are some exceptions which usually Geshe-la makes, right? If you have medical needs, okay, then of course you of course need to drink water, take your medication, okay? So that's important. If you don't have those valid excuses, as I tell my students, bring me the documentation. Okay, we don't require you to bring the documentation. We just believe you, trust you. So then, you know, to try to follow the practice as strictly as we could. Okay. So that's a 2-day practice. And then Monday, which is the good Memorial Day, you'll come here in the morning it says at 5. But I don't think that is to really relieve you or release your vows, okay? And usually what happens is, correct me, you know, because it's economic crisis time, I don't know. Usually we arrange for a breakfast, you know, very simple breakfast though. So everybody will come, you know, finish the one session practice, congratulate everybody else, you know, rejoice in your merit and have some donuts and such things, okay? Practice. So I hope the economy is still not that bad to serve you that. But who knows? Okay, so that's the Nyungne practice coming soon near you, right?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it open for general public, or is there any prerequisition? Is there any? If someone wants to really aspire to the quality of Nyungne, still want to attend, is there any way they can do to qualify themselves?
Okay. Okay. So that again, I'm doing the Nyungne Yon Chogan so much that got Chidan the Shasha and Angore, Tayan Delia, Chichadian Sango, Kandin Basa.
And that's so short on the Yonan Jigris, what this on Shinjimizu Tangan, so she said, come up with yours, so that the Berger did now you there is, because it's a long contact.
Okay. Here's what Geshe-la said, and here's the perspective I bring. I mean, usually, I mean, for one, you're really to be able to do this, you know. That you should have received an Avalokiteshvara empowerment, whether it's a minor or a major one, it depends, right? And of course, you know, you should sincerely believe in this practice, very important, and those are the things. Of course, now we don't have a time to give initiation and all this, right? I mean, so you know that. And so what Geshe-la wants is, you know, he makes it a little more public in the sense that if you're truly interested in the practice, right, you know, so you could join. at whatever time you come, one session, maybe another session, depending upon, because we want to make give everybody a chance to do the practice, okay? While, but strictly speaking, to complete the unit retreat, right, then you have to be here on both days and do all the things. But some people, right, reality strikes, you know, you get called from the work or whatever, you have to take care of family, other things. So you may be able to come to morning session or afternoon session or one session or whatever case may be. And this time, so we will be a little more relaxed here. Are you with me so far? Okay. Okay, am I missing anything? Any more announcements that I don't know?
That meal is a vegetarian.
Oh, yes. Because this Avalokiteshvara practice, you know, Avalokiteshvara practice, it is considered as one of the lower tantra practice, so really strict vegetarian is very important, okay? So there's no eggs, okay? And you all need to become vegans. I'm just kidding. No, not that strict, but so it's a vegetarian, okay, lunch, should be eating, okay? All right, any questions, any new people, anything? Okay, then I have some prayer requests. Vicky Nguyen, oh my gosh, passed away at such a young age, 23, in an accident. So we want to think about her and others and send our prayers. And Clara what? Payne, okay, 67, died after, you know, serious sickness. Yes, so think about Clara and others in a similar situation. So please send your prayers and good thoughts to them, and maybe Om Mani Padme Hum. Well, let's recite Om Mani Padme Hum for them and others. Let's do the quick written prayer for Geshe-la. To save time, we will do in English and Vietnamese. We will skip the Tibetan. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds of your pervasive, pure, and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, our incomparable great hero, who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching. He who has raised a parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sum of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden is set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of three reasonings. Please return soon just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic mind. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication. In regards to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossom lotus, that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa, by the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled. Could you please start in Vietnamese?
Ngủ hợi đi diệt khổ hại người, tận diệt thống khổ tức thời, những nhân ngài bậc đại hùng vô sánh, đã hoàn toàn chứng pháp tánh nơi tâm, ba tạng giới luật cố vị liên thân, của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo, ngày nâng cao và bằng mắt bảo, trăm hướng phương lan tỏa muôn phương, có thân nhà trói lòa phẩm hạnh, sau bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh biết chi, ngài từng chứng Phật thệ nghi, luôn luôn hằng pháp làm nguyện độ sanh, nay ngày hẳn không đành bỏ nguyện. Vì phước tệ tử mà ngài hiện thế, khiến nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn. Xin mau hóa sanh thành ánh đạo vàng, từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn vơ vơ. Xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư, như kho tàng chứa kinh thư vô lượng, được khuyên giảng soi đường pháp bảo, hết căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh. Xin mau trở lại là đại pháp sư, đường danh kim cổ muôn phương tán đồng, pháp an núi người pháp đồng đạo kín, tăng đồng đồng xét nghĩa sấm vang. Xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước, tắc vô minh học thức uyên thâm, biện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp vân, học giả khẩu phục hàng tâm, thiện giả cảm nhận hồng ân nước lòng. Xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư, kiên cư thông thái mẫn từ cảnh tâm, chánh kiến thiện mệnh chuyên cần, ưu sen hé nhị hương lân pháp đàn, của tông khắc ba ý ngọc lời vàng, cho thần lực tam bảo linh ứng, cho thần lực duyên khởi tương ưng, với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng, cho tâm lực trí hành cùng chứng ngữ, xin cho sự nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
Before we do dedication prayer, so once again, I want to kind of appreciate this, I think, organizing the fasting retreat on the Memorial Weekend. I believe I was told that it would be almost like 100 days, or it would be 100 days since Kishila, passed into Parinirvana. So it would be a good time to remember him and dedicate our merit for his quick return. Okay, we need to accumulate a lot of merit. That's what's called dependent arising. Depends upon our dependent arising. It's inconceivable, create a lot of merit so that he will be able to come back to us and teach us again.
Jesus,
Thank you very much. Enjoy your lunch. Yes, thank you, Geshe-la.
Yeah.